Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
On today's program of Faith and Freedom, we're going to be talking about effective treatment for COVID-19. Our very special guest is Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. And Dr. McCullough is exceptionally well published. As I have mentioned before in this program, he's the most published person in the world in history. I mean, that's an incredible feat in his area of board certification in internal medicine and subspecialty in cardiology. He is a professor of medicine, and he's the program director at Baylor University Medical Center Cardiovascular Diseases Fellowship Program. So he is training doctors in this area of expertise. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. McCullough.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. McCullough, why don't we start out and dive into the issue of treatments? What if somebody has had the shots? What would you recommend they do now?
Well, I've certainly had patients starting probably in February and March who've been fully vaccinated and developed COVID-19. So that clearly happens. In fact, there's an increased risk with Pfizer and Moderna after the first shot, and then that risk goes down after the second shot. So people who are getting vaccines should be on the lookout for the characteristic signs and symptoms of COVID-19, including loss of taste and smell, nasal congestion, fever, a cough. These are the early symptoms. This COVID-19 does not lead with a sore throat, by the way, like the most common cold does. So that's probably the single greatest distinguishing feature. This kind of abrupt onset of nasal congestion and fever, loss of sense of taste and smell ought to prompt somebody to get a test for COVID-19. Either the PCR or the antigen test is fine. I like the antigen test. It comes back in 10 minutes. And when it's positive, it has a high positive predictive value. So among those vaccinated or unvaccinated, make a prompt diagnosis. Now, where do we go from there? I can tell you the first day or two is always mild. I've had COVID-19 myself. My family members have it. I've published extensively on this. And I can tell you the first couple of days, the best thing to do is to treat early and snuff it out before it becomes a wildfire. Okay. So people under age 50, without any medical problems, they don't need acute treatment. We recommend generally nutraceuticals, zinc, 50 milligrams of elemental zinc, vitamin C, 3,000 milligrams, vitamin D, 5,000 international units, and quercetin, 500 milligrams twice a day, nutraceutical bundle, stay at home, ride it out. Once the fever is done, wait two more days, and in general can go back to work. There's no additional testing, no prescription drugs. And then the vast majority of people under 50 ride through the virus and they do fine. However, if the symptoms get worse or they present with severe symptoms, they need to go into what's called sequence multi-drug therapy.
And what is that sequence multi-drug therapy that you recommend?
Well, it would be similar to what President Trump received. So Americans know this. We can lead off with a monoclonal antibody infusion. The U.S. government has pre-purchased 500 million doses of monoclonal antibodies. The two featured ones now are by Regeneron and GlaxoSmithKline. These are available at all major hospitals. Patients should demand it. A senior citizen should demand a treatment, and they'll go into an isolated room, get an infusion, and go home. Sadly, these monoclonal antibodies are hidden from patients. They're not featured in any public health messaging from our government. They're never mentioned by the CDC or NIH directors. They're never presented on the media. It is a travesty to have these high-tech, highly effective treatments sit on the shelf because no one wants to bring them to mention or make them available to our seniors in need of treatment. So request a monoclonal antibody infusion. And after that, we move into sequence multi-drug treatment. We can use hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin plus doxycycline and azithromycin to cover the virus. We treat inflammation with the use of inhaled budesonide or Pulmicort. If symptoms really severe, use oral prednisone. We use colchicine, an anti-inflammatory drug. And then to reduce blood clotting, everybody should go on aspirin, full adult dose, 325, continue this for 90 days in high-risk seniors. And then in my patients with heart or lung disease, I put them on Lovenox and I run that sequenced multi-drug approach. I can tell you that in low-risk cases, let's say somebody 60 who's pretty healthy, they're only going to need 5 days of treatment. Let's say an 80-year-old with heart and lung disease, they could need as much as 30 days of treatment. So 5, 10, or 30 days of treatment, depending on the risk for hospitalization and death. I personally have treated patients in their 90s, and we've avoided hospitalization and death. It's remarkably effective when we use this approach at home. Two studies by Zelenko and Proctor have shown 85% reductions in hospitalization and death, and it's a crime to not treat patients at home.
I have a good friend. She's in her upper 80s, and she had hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin already on standby. She got admitted to a well-known hospital in Central Florida, and they wouldn't allow her to have that, but a friend of hers brought that in, gave it to a nurse, and she had it, and she took that. It wasn't allowed by the hospital. She was admitted on Monday. She actually was taken there by ER ambulance, and she was admitted on a Monday. She was discharged on a Wednesday, and she's doing absolutely fine. She had already been taking some of these other nutraceuticals that you talked about. But the problem that I see is, and I know a lot of people like this. I know a lot of people like my friend who I just described. I have another person that I know very well. Same thing, in a different hospital, in a different state, mm-hmm. went in, and I'm not exaggerating, but the only treatment that they would give her is vitamin C and oxygen, and they did not give her anything else. They would not allow hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. They said, oh, that's not effective, and so her husband did the same thing. Her husband ordered the medications for her, and they actually had them. They just had them. They didn't take them to the hospital.
They
were able to get that to her, not personally, but gave it to a nurse who, you know, took it up there, didn't know what the nurse was having in that particular package, and she took it. And she got discharged. The doctor said, I'm just astounded by your fast recovery. But the problem is, doctor, when you get admitted to the hospital, your spouse or your family members mm-hmm. are being prohibited from going to you, and then the hospitals are not doing what you're telling them.
Like, we have a friend who is a doctor, and her husband went into the hospital with this, and she had to fight.
We had to threaten to file suit, and she actually has treated, she treats COVID patients, and they would refuse to allow some of the recommendations, and they just put a, they said no. So what is happening?
Why
to
is it such a fight?
Why is this happening? Because they're not following the advice mm-hmm. that you're giving. And I agree with it 100%.
It's a really it's such a strange thing that's happened in medicine, where we have COVID-19 patients that are admitted to these closed units. They're all seen by infectious disease doctor and hospitalization, hospital medicine doctors and critical care doctors. None of these doctors actually take care of outpatients with COVID-19, so they haven't learned the techniques of outpatient management, and they fall under relatively strict protocol-driven advice from the Infectious Disease Society of America and the National Institutes of Health that only advise late administration of remdesivir, which is not effective, the use of a low dose of infrequently used steroid called dexamethasone, which if we use it, we use it in much higher doses than what's recommended in these guidelines. And then lastly, patients can receive tozalizumab, which is a drug directed against interleukin-6. So they're not even treated with appropriate doses of aspirin or blood thinners. And then they develop blood clots, develop low oxygenation, and then go on the mechanical ventilator. So as you pointed out, inpatient management is a disaster. In many ways, it's contributing to mortality. There's an analysis by Ip and colleagues that show if patients get any type of outpatient treatment before they go into the hospital, in fact, they have an easier ride, like the patient you described. So we've had desperate situations where family members are trying to get evidence-based drugs to patients like hydroxychloroquine, like ivermectin, like full-dose anticoagulants, and they actually have to go get a court order from a judge, and the judge orders the doctors to treat the patients appropriately. When has this ever happened in America?
Especially doctors take an oath to do no harm and to help people. So this is just horrific. It's such a fight.
Yes.
Patients know it.
Yeah,
patients know it, and they're horrified to be hospitalized because they know they're going to be put into isolation. They know they're not going to receive appropriate care, and they could be receiving a death sentence. And, you know, it's so different in the rest of the world. If you were to be hospitalized in Rome, for instance, you'd be given a hydroxychloroquine protocol right away. You know, in Karachi, Pakistan, or Delhi, you'd be given an ivermectin-based protocol. So the rest of the world is so different. How about Mexico City? In any hospital in Mexico City, they'd be started promptly on ivermectin. All these drugs work well. I'm not saying the other drugs can't be used, but why not use what we know works? We've got 200 supportive studies with hydroxychloroquine, 60 supportive studies with ivermectin. Why are these basically not administered in the hospital and patients are sentenced to death? It's horrific.
For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/vaccine. You can go under treatment, and at treatment, you'll see a myfreedoctor.com link. Go there. It actually is free, and you can communicate with a doctor, telemedicine, to get these and other kinds of medications to treat COVID. lc.org/vaccine. You can also find out more information there about Dr. Peter McCullough. lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.